The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to another Dark Side of the Pooch. He is my poochinator, man. He's the man right there, the man, the myth, the legend. You like, love, can't live without him. That is Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 2080301. I got a phone call, by the way, from your office today. Notifying me today, because it's the only 208 exchange I get. Notifying me that it was time for Rainer to come in to get his annuals and just to have his wellness a checkup, and I knew that because I called last week because I was going in to have him groomed. And of course, if you take him to all these places like PetSmart or stuff, you have to have all their shots up to date. You can't take him in and groom them. They will not groom your animal unless they get their shots, which is great because if you're gonna get your dog groomed, you should be taking care of them. So I thought we'd start right there this morning or this afternoon or whenever you're listening to Dark Side of the Pooch. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net, by the way, for emails. We got some emails to get into as well. What goes into a wellness check for an animal? Is it much like a human being? You just do the blood test. What are you checking for in an animal to see if he's okay?
Well, we, kind of the same thing that people have done. You know, it's, the obligatory physical exam, which is probably the most important part of the whole thing, to be honest with you. Because we may see or feel or hear something that is abnormal that there are no symptoms for and that the owner may not have noticed. Okay. So dental disease, cataracts, an ear infection, a heart murmur, enlarged lymph nodes, growths, you know, little bumps, things like that, bruising, you know, just all kinds of stuff. The physical exam is super important. And then we're going to check in for heartworms, which are spread by mosquitoes. And if your pet's not on monthly heartworm prevention, please get them on heartworm prevention because heartworms, they can be deadly and it costs a lot to treat them, you know, rather than just keeping them on the preventative. I mean, it'll cost you, $5 a month thereabouts. You know,
that's not
$5 to $10 a month, you know, to keep them from getting heartworms. And then we'll check them for intestinal parasites. Intestinal parasites are acquired by dogs eating things off the ground, drinking things off the ground. That's pretty much it. Depending on their age, we might recommend a full blood panel, which checks organ function and red and white blood cell count and urine. I love wellness visits. They're usually happy visits. Yeah. You know, the people they come in, they want to be there. Mm. I mean, you know, it's want as much as someone can want to be at the vet, you know, but it's a happy visit and it's more, you know, it's looking at the pet and then getting to know the client a little bit, you know, how was your weekend and how are your kids and what's going on today?
There you go.
Cause when those sick visits come, you know, you can still do that stuff, but there's a little more tension, you know, the owner worried they are missing work. They're worried about the bill. You know, it's not quite as fun of a, appointment as a wellness visit.
Yeah. Speaking of eating things off the ground, I've been walking my dog for 2-3 miles a day on average. He loves it. He's behind me right now. We're fixing to go on a walk as soon as we get done with the show. But recently, he's about 8 years old. I think he's about 8, maybe pushing 9. Just recently, in the last, say, 6 months, he is eating almost everything that he can find on the ground, whether it's goose poop, dog poop, any poop. I have to keep an eye on him. Now, I know he'll want to roll in it, but he's never done that. Is there a reason? Is that just his time? Is he just getting older where that just seems to be something he wants to do? Because he's never eaten. I've walked him his entire life. He's never eaten poop. He's never just eaten things. Normally, if it doesn't taste good or smell good, he usually doesn't want to go there. But is there a reason why he's doing that now all of a sudden?
Sometimes they can have conditions that make them hungry as they get older. Uh-huh. It's no big deal stuff.
Yeah.
But he might be hungrier than he has in the past. And so he's just trying to eat anything and everything. And that's what they'll do. So, that's just almost like an advertisement for that blood work we were talking about.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Cause I take him down this little lake and I know that sometimes we had a whole discussion last week about, you don't want him to drink stagnant water, but he gets in the lake and, you know, he's going to take a couple laps of the water and it's fine. And I always bring a bottle of water with us. So, you know, he's getting the good stuff too. But I thought it was interesting. I don't know why he's and he seems like he's wanting to roll around in it a lot more. And obviously that's not a good thing when you just get your dog groomed and all of a sudden they want to start rolling around other dogs' poop.
I got no answer for that.
Yeah. I don't, well, I mean, sometimes I think it's poop. I mean, sometimes I don't see anything and he just wants to roll around in the grass. I'm just assuming that if he's rolling around in something, it's something that stinks because dogs like to roll around in stinky stuff. So I see if he's going to roll around in something in someone's yard, then I, you know, right away I tip him off. But, so yeah, I don't know. Anything going interesting at your office before we jump into some email questions? Anything that's blown you away?
Well, there is something kind of interesting that I was kind of working up today. In dogs, it's really common that as they get older, they start to have protein in their urine. And a little bit of protein isn't a big deal. A lot of protein is a big deal. And there's lots of things that can cause increased protein in the urine.
Okay.
It can be just kind of the kidneys wearing out. There are infectious diseases. That is something that we're only going to see. You're only going to know about it if we run a urine analysis on a pet. And we recommend that when they're 6 years or older, along with blood work that we just talked about. But there's this really interesting phenomenon that can happen to certain dog breeds. And it's called glomerular disease. And basically, the little unit in the kidney that functions as the filter, you know, kidneys have, thousands of these things. They function as little filters for resorption of electrolytes and to, you know, get rid of some electrolytes while keeping others. You know, basically it's just a way to stay balanced. You know, it's urine. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're drinking too much, you're going to get rid of a lot of water. If you're not drinking a lot, then you're going to get rid of a lot of electrolytes. So anyway, glomerular disease can happen for no apparent reason. You diagnose it by having a lot of protein in the urine, and there's a medication that you can give called telmisartan. That decreases the protein that's being lost through the glomerula. Because if you have continued loss of protein through that, it's just going to worsen or exacerbate the disease process. So it's just a really kind of interesting thing that we were working up. Shelties seem to be really predisposed to it. You know, Shelties is a breed that, you know, people love. So, you know, I would, if you've got a Sheltie out there and hadn't been seen in a while, then probably something you want to look into.
No, very interesting. Thanks for sharing that. It is Dark Side of the Pooch, Rossbridge Animal Hospital.vet. You can check that out, or should I say .net? It is a vet.net or .org or .com, whatever, one of those dots, you know, check it out. Just pull up Rossbridge, Google it, you'll find it. You know what I'm talking about. 208-0301-208. I don't know why I try to even remember these things because this is what people do anyway. I was at a PetSmart yesterday and I needed some chinchilla food. No, it was Saturday. I needed some chinchilla food. I got two chinchillas. Mama's already pregnant. So your chinchilla's on the way, by the way. She's coming sometime in early May. I'm feeling three in there, so I may have to bring her in for an ultrasound. Can I bring her in for an ultrasound?
Oh, probably x-ray would be our best bet.
X-ray. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so, and I come in there and sure shooting, there is the Humane Society. I ain't seen them in there like in years. I didn't even know they did that anymore, but the Humane Society brought a couple animals into PetSmart for adoption. And of course, you know, I'm block eyes with this chow chow. Her name was Huntington and she was a puppy. She was about 2 months old. And of course she's shaking and it reminds me of those commercials, you know, where they do the slow-mo thing at 4 o'clock in the morning and makes you want to spend the $19 and get the free pet blanket and plush toy or whatever it is to help the SPCA.
Sarah McLaughlin.
And she's like, you want to get her out? And I said, sure. I what the heck? And of course I lay her on my lap and I mean, she's just like, she's lying. She ain't moving. I mean, she's mine. She's not going anywhere. And of course they start talking to me in a little bit. And then I start getting into the fact that I lost a dog and they're like, oh, this would be perfect for you. Da, da, da. And I said, I got another one out of the car right now that is not going to like the way I smell. When I get out of there, what kind of questions should you ask? And the Humane Society here does a great job. They do wonderful work. They are packed up. But what kind of questions, if you just walk in all of a sudden, cause I'm, you know, I don't believe in coincidences. So I was like, okay, I'm coming in to get chinchilla food of all days. And here's this dog. I did walk out. I said, how long is she going to be here? They said till 2. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I will call at 2 to see if she's here. If she's here, I may come back. And thank God someone took her. They had all three adopted. So it was, that's great. That's great for everybody. But what kind of questions should I ask? If I'm going in, I'm a first timer and I don't really know what's going on, as far as in shots, why was she, abandoned or how she was abandoned? Can you ask questions like, was she abused? What kind of questions am I looking at?
The most important question to me would be what medication has she been on?
Okay.
You know, like what have you been giving her? Because sometimes they have, illnesses that are, you know, a one-off. Okay. But sometimes they have illnesses that you're going to have to battle their whole life. So that would be my first question.
For example, what would that illness be?
Skin conditions, ear conditions. Those can be very, chronic and lifelong. Yeah. If you have other pets at home, you might want to ask them if they've had respiratory illnesses, because that can be contagious and, you know, your dog at home could catch that. So I just kind of want to know what they've been treated for. It is nice to know. Well, first of all, they're going to come vaccinated to some degree.
Sure.
They just will. You know, it depends on how long they've been there. If they've been there a while, they're going to come fully vaccinated and you're not going to have much to do at all. They're probably going to be spayed, neutered, fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
And if they're not fully vaccinated, it just means they hadn't been there very long, but they're going to have something. But it's important to know, what else am I going to need to do and when?
Yeah.
And, as far as what they were surrendered for, a lot of times they won't know. So asking them, hey, you know, what happened? Sometimes these dogs get picked up off the side of the street or somebody mm-hmm. just drops them off. And as long as they're not aggressive, you know, I think their humane society is looking for that. But, I would, try to see if the dog has any signs of aggression or not. And I mean, really, that's pretty much it.
There you go. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. You can find it with 18 different shows. We're adding a 19th show, I think, starts in a couple of weeks, and then we're done. I'm not doing any more shows. I'm done. I'm not doing any more. I'm not. 20 is enough. That's going to be appliance. We're good. But we love our email questions. And I knew this was coming, and I hope you've done some homework on this, but
odds are I have not.
Brad in Birmingham wants you to explain the bird flu thing. Talk about it. I'm not specifically the bird flu thing, but does it affect our dogs? Is it? I know for a while the COVID thing was very confusing because cats can get COVID, but it's not the same type of COVID. And then we said, can you get COVID by it actually rubbing off one animal on another? We found out you actually could. And I know these, and it's a fluid situation, right? It's constantly changing. That's why everyone doesn't trust the CDC. They didn't know because we had never seen anything like that before. They're learning too, just like we are. One day it's okay to stand within 6 feet. The next day it's not. We want definitive stuff. And then when we're told definitive stuff, then we don't like that because we don't like to be told what to do. We're a pain in the ass is what we are. What are you hearing about that bird flu? Is it something that dogs and cats can get? Is it something that's transferable between cats and dogs? What's the latest on that? Or do you have any information on that?
Probably the most important information I can give you is no, it's not something that's contagious from the birds to dogs and cats. Dogs do get the flu. Okay. Cats really don't get the flu, but dogs do.
And we have had one nasty flu season. Does that coincide with animals at all or no?
No, we really haven't seen many flu cases. A few years ago, there was a really huge outbreak of flu. But as of right now, we haven't seen a lot of flu cases in dogs. But when you do have a flu outbreak, it's really widespread. Mm-hmm. And dogs that are not vaccinated do get pretty sick. Dogs that are vaccinated either don't get sick or they get a mild case of it. But the bird flu or the flu that's affecting, all the egg layers, that's not going to be something that's transmitted, to dogs and cats.
Is that what you call them? Really, the egg layers? That sounds like something one vet would sit on there. How the egg layers doing?
The egg layers. Or the broilers. The broilers. The egg layers. I don't know why I sounded like Trump layers. Just then.
The broilers and the egg layers. The egg
layers, man. Okay. So anyway, but that's pretty much all I know about it because I'm not, I'm not a veterinarian that deals with birds, big commercial properties. And I'm glad I'm not, because that's probably a nightmare for them right now. But the reason that you have to kill them all off is because it is so contagious and it'll just continue to spread. So it's kind of like, you know, kind of like the zombie apocalypse. You just got to kill them.
Yeah. And you're going to overkill them too. If we weren't eating their eggs or eating the chickens, would they get healthier on their own or when they have the bird flu, or do they just die from it?
No, they're not very hardy. They die.
Okay. Someone told me, well, I actually saw it on the news, until the bird flu of this year, 2025, 2024, we had more chickens in this country than we had humans. We have 380 humans. We have about 400 million chickens, which I did not know. And right now we've lost 60 million chickens, which is like a lot of chickens. That's, you know, yeah. And I'm wondering why, you know, everyone keeps talking about the egg prices going up at Waffle House. I'm wondering why, maybe it has, but chicken prices. I mean, I went to Zaxby's yesterday and I still dropped my $83 for three meals, but I was, isn't that about right? $83 for three meals is Zaxby's. And I was like,
I just plug my ears.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's insane. But I was kind of waiting to hear, you know, because if they're killing off all these chickens, and I got a couple people, neighbors that get chickens, and we had chickens for a while. And, you know, eggs are like, we were giving eggs away like Easter eggs. I mean, we had more eggs we know what to do with. We were giving every neighbor a dozen every week. And all of a sudden, you know, they're going for $8 a dozen. It's like, well, hold on a sec here. These little bad boys are worth some money. You know, these kids, yeah. The kids that do lemonade stands, we should do an egg stand.
Yeah.
Right? Do some eggs, a dozen eggs for, you know, special whatever.
Yeah, maybe $6 instead of $8.
Yeah.
Save some money. But it's a different, and I'm talking like way out of school here. And when I try not to eat out a bunch because it is expensive and it's usually like not as healthy as I want to eat. Sometimes it is. But you know, when I go to the store, it's almost like I'm just such a person that buys what he needs most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I need it, I buy it. If I don't need it, I don't buy it.
I hear.
And it's almost like, okay, if something costs X amount of dollars, I need it. I'm going to buy it.
Yeah. Detergent, so stuff like that. I don't eat eggs. I don't eat eggs. I mean, the other day, my daughter's like, will you make some brownies? I said, sure. And she goes, oh, we can't, we have no eggs. I said, you don't need eggs for brownies. She goes, yeah, you do. And I said, you do? She goes, yeah, you need an egg. I said, it's been that long since I've made brownies. I said, oh, yeah, you need an egg for that. She goes, yeah, you need eggs for bacon. And I was like, oh, that's, but I saw some dude that was, he owns a cake store in Silverton, Minnesota or something. I don't know where. And he buys 5 gallon vats of eggs. You know, it's already broken eggs. Yeah. And it was $37 for 5 gallons. And now he's spending $193 for 5 gallons of eggs. I mean, it's the point where he's not making any money at all, but he's got to sell these damn cakes. He's like, I'm selling these cakes for $30. And it's like, because I never realized, you know, how many eggs you need.
Yeah. And I, you know, it's, I feel bad for people because I'm starting to feel it myself. Like all the inflation that's been going on for the past 3 or 4 years. I mean, it's catching up. I mean, it really is. It's hard to stay ahead. And you look at the bottom line at the end of the month and you think, man, I'm really not putting much away. Like, where is it going?
No,
and I've got 3 kids and it's like, oh, it's going for clothes. It's going for food. It's going for school stuff. And oh man, I tell you, I'm feeling the crunch.
I am too. And I think a lot of people think because, you know, you're a business owner. I'm a business owner. Oh, you own your own business, blah, blah. They think you're rolling in it. And I'm like, no, it's doubly hard because, you know, we have to pay taxes on all that stuff. We're not poo pooing on it. Don't get me wrong. I think we're both very, very blessed in what we do. But no, I agree with you. It's funny because I mean, I went to the grocery store on Friday or Saturday, I guess, and I was going to get groceries for the week. And I had to check my account to make sure that I had $400 in there. $400. I mean, I was like, what the hell am I doing? I was like, because I didn't know, because if my daughter likes a couple fillets, that's $28 a pound. Now, I'm not saying I do that every time she comes over here, but I got a birthday coming up and I thought, you know, I'd like to have a special evening. But I mean, yeah, I mean, it's almost the point now, though, with our groceries. It'll never be cheaper to eat out. But there still are.
It's getting close.
It's getting close. I mean, it really is. It's like, wait a minute. I mean, by the time you go to the grocery store. So, yeah, kind of crazy stuff. I got some classic rock questions I'm going to ask you here in a second. One other question here from Seth. He wants to know what breeds of dogs and how rare is it to have two different colored eyes in dogs and or cats?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, any breed can have, it's called heterochromia.
Okay.
Because hetero is different, and chromia, you're talking about colors, basically. Yeah. So it's heterochromia of the iris. And it's not breed specific. It's much more common in dogs and cats. Although in cats, you can have it. It just looks a little bit different. And dogs, it's very stark. Like, I mean, you know, you'll notice it, and you'll see a dog that either has one brown eye, one blue eye. Mm-hmm. But what's really cool is if you have a dog that has like half, like one eye is half brown and half blue.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Yeah. That's cool.
Is it this way or this way?
It can be either way. It can be
I've never seen that.
Vertical, diagonal. Yeah, it's rare.
And is it that way in both eyes?
No, it can be both or just one.
Wow, that's cool. That's how I learned something.
Yeah,
that's
growing up, I had a Great Dane that was one blue eye, one brown eye. And Great Danes are one of the breeds that are a little more overrepresented when it comes to having two different color eyes. Mm-hmm. But it can happen in any breed.
I have a friend of mine who's got a brown eye and a blue eye.
You know, the craziest thing is, like, you know, you like when you're a kid, like some things just kind of stick with you. Mm-hmm. So in first grade, there was this girl in my first grade class. Her name was Lantana. And she had one blue eye, and she had one brown eye.
Wow.
And like, I never would have remembered her otherwise, you know, but memorable trait.
Yeah.
Yeah. Memorable trait and memorable name.
Lantana the eye girl. That's sweet. Were you a fan of Roberta Flack, or is that a little early for you?
Oh, that's early for me. Yeah. I need some information.
She passed away today. She was 88. Feel Like Making Love. First Time I Ever Saw Your Face. Killing Me Softly. Softly. That was Roberta Flack. That was one of her number one songs. She passed away. So this site called The Top 10, which is followed by like 16 million fans. I went to their website for the first time. All they do is top 10 lists because we love lists. They recently, as a matter of fact, this past weekend, came out with the top 10 classic rock songs of all time. And I'm going to have to see what this list is about, because you don't know what you don't know if this is some guy named Larry living in Aniana who's just putting this list and he's saying these are the top 10 songs of all time. And you don't know if it's his songs. You don't know if it's but this is according to like 100,000 people who voted on it. So, I mean, it's a good sample size of music. So it's not, you're not going to see an off cut of Devo in the top 10. Okay. So I thought I'm going to sit there and go, okay, I'll bet you I could get 5 out of the 10, because I'm going to think, okay, you're thinking
Stairway to Heaven,
Big Band,
Stairway to Heaven.
There's number one. All right. Give me another one. It's not that hard. If you really think about it,
are the Beatles included in classic rock?
The Beatles are included in it, and they do have one song in the top 10.
While My Guitar Gently Weeps is a little too niche. Let me think here.
It's not
Hard Day's Night.
No,
is it Hard Day's Night?
It's not Hey Jude. It's not. I thought maybe it'd be Hey Jude or Let It Be. It is A Day in the Life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what their criteria is. Is it records sold? Is it popularity?
It has no criteria. And that's the beautiful thing about this test, if you will, because everyone was writing in, whether it was number one singles, whether it was a song they had there at their wedding, everyone had different criteria and why they thought these were the greatest classic rock songs of all time. So give me a couple other ones. I know you can nail a couple right off the top.
More Than a Feeling. Boston.
More Than a Feeling is actually was like number 13 on this list, and I heard that song at Walgreens yesterday. I am so glad you said that, because when that song came out, like I was 10 or 11 years old, that thing was unbelievable. That was like Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit when it first came out. You're like, what is that? I mean, because it sounded so different. It was so well polished and so well produced. But More Than a Feeling is not on the list. Give me another one.
All right. You got a Queen song on there, I bet.
I do. It'd be number two, yes.
It's gotta be Another One Bites the Dust.
No, that is also number 14. Bohemian Rhapsody would be number two.
Okay.
And you can make an argument that if we didn't have Wayne and Garth, we wouldn't have that song number two. Because that song was great.
That's true.
That song was great and stuff, but that movie brought that song back. I mean, it charted higher the second time than it did the first.
You know, that's there's some kind of trivia question there with that song. It's like one of the few songs to be number one in two different decades or something. Yeah. And it's because of Wayne's World.
Yep.
Does Zeppelin have another song on there?
Zeppelin actually does have another song on here. Do they? No, they don't. No, they do not have. Kashmir was honorable mention. Okay. And Immigrant Song was an honorable mention, but not in the top 10.
Okay.
If I tell you the groups, you're going to know it. You want me to tell you?
Yeah, tell me the groups.
The Eagles.
Oh, Hotel California.
That's number three. Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, it's got, is it Freebird?
It's got to be Freebird. Yeah, that's number four. The Who.
Oh, Won't Get Fooled Again. Is it Bob O'Reilly?
Bob O'Reilly. Thank you very much. Bob O'Reilly would be number five. Very good, but Won't Get Fooled Again as honorable mention. Number six is a player here. This is one that I'm so glad it's on this list, because when I hear about this, this is quintessential, fantastic classic rock, and it's from a band called Kansas. Can you name the song?
Oh, it's not Dust in the Wind.
No.
You have to give it to me.
Carry On My Wayward Son.
Yeah, that was, yeah. I just come up with a title.
Pink Floyd actually has two songs on this list. They have the number 7 song and the number 10 song. Would you like to take a stab at both of those?
It's Dark Side and Wish You Were Here.
Dark Side is not on here. Wish You Were Here is number 10. Number 7 is Comfortably Numb.
Well, that's a great song. Yeah, that's one of my favorite guitar solos of all time. And Scott, we got to have some Stones on here.
The Stones are number 9. That's our final one. Very good. And I will give you a lollipop if you can tell me which Rolling Stones song. Now, I will tell you, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not Satisfaction. Satisfaction has been known, certainly through Rolling Stone magazine, as the greatest rock and roll song, melodically speaking, written of all time, numerous times, but Satisfaction is not in the top 10, but it is a Rolling Stones song, and it's sitting there at number 9. And when I saw it, I was like, really? Because it's not one of my favorite Stone songs. It's an older one.
Is it Painted Black?
It is Painted Black. Very good. Very nice. Wow. Yeah, I'm surprised. Impressed.
Well, I'm surprised by Painted Black too, because it has that long sax solo at the end.
Yeah.
Which I love, but you know, might not be the most radio friendly song in the world. But I love that sax. That outro is so good.
I heard Waiting on a Friend yesterday, and I thought I hadn't heard that song in so long. I was like, that's such a great song, man.
And I will go to my grave saying, if you don't like the Rolling Stones, you just don't know the deep cuts. Because man, I'm telling you, like, okay, throw out their top 5 selling singles. And there's 50 more great songs.
I remember the first time I played Monkey Man. I was like, oh, I'm a monkey.
It's incredible.
It's incredible. It's great. Yeah, their stuff is fantastic. It was funky. It was weird. And then you get into like, what was Miss You?
Some girls album.
Yeah. What was the one song? Then they did the Emotional Rescue thing. The Emotional Rescue thing was really weird for me.
I love that song.
I see that song is just really bizarre. I mean, I get why it's a hit, and it was out there, man. It was a risk taker. It wasn't a Mr. Roboto, but it was close for me. So I was kind of
that
like,
falsetto Jagger doing that falsetto.
It was a weird cut, man. Because I think a lot of people think of Start Me Up, Tattoo You, that was like their last great classic rock album, but they really, I mean, they, Harlem Shake, it's a great stuff afterwards. Even some stuff from Steel Wheels, Rockin' Our Place, it's some good stuff. Very good, my man. Tell people how they can find you, sir.
Call us at 208-0301. You can find us on Facebook, and we are also RossBridgeBet.com.
You rock. Thank you, brother. We'll talk next week.
See you, buddy.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.